Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our ordinary council meeting for Wednesday, the 25th of September. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 5:40, and in doing so, respectfully acknowledge the contribution of Gadigal elders whose land we're meeting on this afternoon. Respectfully acknowledging the contribution of Gadigal elders past, present and future in all working together for the betterment of the future city of Port Hedland. Welcome. Thank you. Okay, now that we've resumed our seats, before we do the recording of attendance and apologies, CEO.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just reminding current elected members and also members of the public that are candidates for the forthcoming election, that Council has resolved to adopt a policy, and the policy is 4-006, and it's our elections caretaker period. Within that policy, there's a requirement for elected members and candidates to advise the council and the gathering if they are a candidate, that they are a candidate if they are going to ask questions or make a statement. I'll read the section out. It's 4.5 of the policy. Questions and statements at council or committee meetings. All candidates, whether current elected members or not, are required to declare that they are a candidate for the upcoming election prior to asking questions or making a statement at council or committee meetings. So just for clarification for any of our candidates, either sitting elected members or members of the public who are candidates. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, item two, recording of attendance and apologies. Attendance with the alteration or amendment that 2.2 apologies from Councillor Arnold Carter and 2.3 approved leave of absence Councillor George Dukash. Item 3, questions, a response to previous questions taken on notice. 3.1, questions from the public at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 28th of August 2013. Item 3.1.1, Ms Lorraine Butson. 3.2, questions from elected members at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 28th of August. 3.2.1, Councillor Dukash. 3.3, questions from public at the special council meeting held on Tuesday the 10th of September 2013. There were nil. 3.4, questions from elected members at the special council meeting held on Tuesday the 10th of September. There were nil. Public time. Item 4. Just an important note. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with the minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording of your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. So I'd like to declare... Okay, so I'd like to declare public question time open at 5:44. Could I have a show of hands who has questions for this evening? Terrific. Okay, thank you. Okay, please come up to the podium. Please state your name nice and clear.
Good evening, Board. My name is David Van Boot. I am running as a public person going for the candidate election. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous. First question is, are there any plans for a road upgrade or cycle path to be allocated within Wedgefield? We have caretakers' residents on our block, and the tenants enjoy riding around. I also ride to work occasionally, and it's very dangerous for the trucks. Mm. So I'd like to put that forward.
CEO?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I might pass it on to Director of Engineering Services in terms of our cycleway dual-use path network.
Through the Chair, I might take that on notice because there were possibly some, so I can't give a definitive answer tonight.
So we'll take that on notice and that will be given to you at the next.
And can we also get an allocated, more legible crosswalk for pedestrians at the shopping centre? I find that's a very dangerous area as well.
The Port Hedland Shopping Centre?
South Hedland.
Yeah, so the pedestrian crossing at the South Headland Shopping Centre, we've been for a long time now petitioning and working with Landcorp and Main Roads to try and get a pedestrian crossing in there. Unfortunately, with the car count and the traffic, it's not deemed by Main Roads to be an area that a pedestrian crossing can go in. However, we've been working with Landcorp to look at crossing zones, so not pedestrian crossings, and Director of Community Development, you were at a meeting with myself and Landcorp's Brad Polenko, and you were going to give an item to Council so Council could consider that and move forward with that. So that's coming up.
Yes, Madam Mayor, we passed that information on to Engineering Services, so the item would come through.
Terrific. So there will be an item coming to Council on that.
Thank you very much.
No worries, thank you. Any further public questions?
Good evening, my name is Lorraine Butson, I'm an up and coming candidate in the local elections. My first question is to do with the Stephen Street pensioner sewerage. When will this project be rectified, as they've been unable to use their main centre for nearly 2 years now?
Yes, thank you for raising that, and certainly Councillor Hunter's been championing that as well. CEO, could you give us an update on that?
I can't give you an update. I'm not sure if Director of Engineering Services, mate.
Yeah, through the Chair, we've established we've got the lease on the management order on the land that the Tidal Village sits on currently. The buildings are actually asset of the Department of Housing. We put money in our budget to do a sewer connection, and we're speaking to housing around them going halves on that connection with us. We've got some initial quotes, and there's a possibility of rock there, so there's a little bit of, could be quite expensive to do. I actually was at the Tidal Village on Monday for a meeting to explain that to the board. So we are working closely with them and trying to get it installed, but it's just getting Department of Housing getting to understand where they're at with contributing to this connection. So, yeah.
Number two, Markey Park. When is the Shire going to make available the refreshment kiosk for public use?
CEO?
I might defer that to the Director of the Community.
So, Madam Mayor, we're making arrangements in the interim, which was an item which came to Council to have some food vans attend the park at key times when the park is in peak use. On top of that, we anticipate the construction of the cafe tender to actually be allocated to be advertised in the next couple of months. So we're using a food van attending Markey Park as an interim arrangement, and then moving as quickly as we can to the construction of the cafe.
And number three, the stadium. Why was the public restricted from purchasing refreshments at the recent dancing concert presentation night?
CEO?
I'm unaware of that issue.
I'm not aware either, Madam Mayor. I take that on notice.
Okay. Oh, well, basically what happened the other night was at the two nights that we got told that you couldn't purchase a cup of coffee because you had to have a licence to buy a cup of coffee, and that they turned their tools off at 5 o'clock in the evening and you couldn't purchase any water, cool drinks or anything after five when they had two staff sitting behind the counter.
Director, I'll take that on notice.
Okay, thank you.
Any further public questions?
For the past couple of years, I've been going on about this underground power charge. Now, I received from the town collection notes, which I have here, and I've also spoken to one of the consultants about it. Showed him the evidence I have that shows the town illegally charged the people in South Headland for the underground power. And I haven't heard anything back from him. That was over 2 months ago. So the question is, can someone tell me whether they have cancelled my underground power bill? Or, you know, because I didn't receive it with my recent rates notice. So, do I have an underground power bill?
Through you, Madam Mayor, my understanding is that, I certainly provided you some legal advice that the town had,
which
demonstrated that the town was firm in its view, but it had the legal capacity and the legal right to make those charges.
Mm-hmm.
if you have an outstanding account, that will be managed through our debt collection agency.
Yeah, well, obviously I've been speaking with them because they wanted to sort it out, and I said, well, we'll go to court, and I haven't heard anything else. So I'm under the impression now that they have just knocked this bill on the head. All right.
I wouldn't be under that assumption at all. Far from it.
Well, I did. I had here the Western Power construction issue plans, which show that Fifth Cell, everyone knows Fifth Cell, the old part of South Hedland and parts of other parts of South Hedland already have underground power, and there has been no service provided to those areas. So what I'm saying is that the town has actually charged a levy. It hasn't charged a service. And a levy, according to the Local Government Act, local governments cannot charge. So, in fact, the underground power charge is, in fact, illegal. So I have told
you... Sorry, that's a statement. Well, it's not a question. So,
you know, I have all the evidence. I've given it to all your people. Sorry, and I haven't received any correspondence back. So, like I say, I'm under the impression that they've knocked it on the head. In that case, can I get the town to, take me to court on it so I can...
Well, I believe that is happening now with the collection agency, so that's in the hands of the collection agency.
I've ever known to be asked to take the court.
The reason for that is I obviously have the evidence to prove that the town has charged a levy, which you obviously know is illegal. The local government cannot charge a levy.
We have our advice. If I guess the matter will be determined in court. Full stop. If you're not prepared to pay it, we're not prepared to write it off, we'll follow through with collection.
Well, I've been trying to chase it up, and
that's incorrect. I took the courtesy of providing you with our legal advice. That was very, very clearly stated that the town was of the view, and we had legal opinion to support it, that we were in the right. Now, you have the opportunity to object to that. If you want your day in court, I guess you'll get your day in court, my lady.
Well, we need to hurry it up because it's dragging on.
We'll pay.
Well, I'm not going to pay.
Okay, any further questions? We do questions as we go around.
There was a question from
me. Okay, from a member of the public?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Shall I do it?
Yes. Oh, no, just read it. So Councillor Taylor has a question from a member of the public. So it's not from a member, it's from a member of the public.
That's correct. It's a disgrace to see a smoking shop in Port Hedland. We are trying to help people stop smoking, so why put a shop that sells cigarettes in this shopping centre? Smoking kills 6,000 people every year in Australia. People die from cancer, and pregnant women who smoke are actually feeding their babies poison. So that's why we should not tolerate a smoking shop. I would like to see this shop get out of Port Hedland. What can the council do about this?
See you.
And that's from a primary school student.
Okay. So, through you, Madam Mayor, very little. Smoking is not illegal in Australia, and the selling of tobacco products to adults over 16, I think it is, or 18, is not illegal. So, therefore, there's probably very little the town can do.
Thank you. I'll pass it on.
Thank you. Any further public questions?
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I have one from the public.
Yes.
I've been asked to advise what the latest progress report is on the development of Precinct 3, and can monthly progress reports direct from the project managers be attained? Is that somewhere online?
Through Madam Mayor, I don't believe it is online, but there's no reason why we can't put some status reports about how that project's progressing and how the milestones are being achieved in terms of the agreement the council has with the developer.
Thank you.
To organise that.
Terrific. Thank you. Any further public questions? Okay, I declare public question time closed at 5:55. Thank you very much. Okay, 4.2 public statement time. I declare public statement time open at 5:55. If you have a public statement, please come to the podium. Please say your name nice and clear.
Hello, Blanca. On this underground power, councillors, you know, you are elected to represent the people. I have evidence here that clearly shows that the town has charged a levy. It has not charged us. The whole of South Hedland has not received a service. Parts of South Hedland have received a service. Okay? So if you want to charge the whole of South Hedland for underground power, that means you've charged a levy. And the Local Government Act states local governments cannot charge a levy. Okay? So yous are elected to represent the people, to make sure that the town or state government or local government don't rip us off. So I think you should be looking into this and making sure that the charges for the underground power have been charged properly to the people. Because the way I see it, at least one third of South Hedland has been charged where they shouldn't have been charged. So if you have a look at the $11 million that has been taken off of people, one third of that is $4 million or $3.5 million that the town is going to have to pay back. That's why I haven't paid my bill, because if I pay it, that means I have to take the town to court. I'm not going to pay some lawyer to take the town to court. But that's why I'm making the town try and take me to court, so then I will have my day in court. And the people in South Hedland that have been charged or overcharged will get their money back.
Thank you for your statement. Any further public statements? Okay, I declare public statement time closed at 5:58. Thank you very much, members of the public. Okay, item 5, questions from members without notice. Councillor Gillingham.
Oh yes, thank you very much. And I'd also like to say that in relation to 4/006 caretaker period, that I, Janet Margaret Gillingham, as a nominated candidate for the up-and-coming local government elections for the town of Port Hedland, as I just wanted to make that statement. Thank you. Perfect. Beforehand. Just a few short questions for the Chair, Madam Mayor. Regarding the Silver Star Cafe behind the cottage and Edgar Street, it was pointed out to me on Sunday that there was quite a lot of rubbish down below on the ground where you've got a bit of a boardwalk. Mm. I'm just wondering whether we could look into that and whether it could be cleared before cyclone season.
So, yeah.
And some broken tables, chairs, things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but otherwise, it was great to have the Silver Star Cafe open on Sunday there for the public. I also want to ask, this year I asked about a webcam, what the process was to be able to have a webcam up on our water tower, if at all possible, and has there anything come about that?
CEO?
Through you, Madam Mayor, my understanding was the Director of Corporate Services was dealing with that through our Manager of ICT, so I'll have to take that on notice. I don't have any information at hand, I'm sorry.
For next time, thank you. All right, and also I did ask also regarding a trophy cabinet for music festival trophies and sporting trophies. I believe that was a process going through. Was there anything more on that?
CEO? We'll take that on notice as well.
All right, thank you. And last one, if I may, with the Graphic Hall going to be renovated into offices, what's the update with that? When will it actually start? And will we have a final farewell of the hall because of a new hall possibly to be built in the future?
CEO?
Through you, Madam Mayor. We'll need to have some discussions with the new council once the council is resolved after the 19th of October to determine the long-term future, because at the moment the council resolution is for the temporary use of that facility, not the long-term use of that facility.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, that's all. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hooper?
Nothing. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Jombo?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Yep. Councillor Jacob?
Madam Mayor, yes, I do have a question in relation to a discussion that was had with the Town of Port Hedland and the CEO and the planning officers present at the last Land Corp Land Roundtable regarding access to Mitchie Crescent the road access that was suggested that council might take up. Could we bring that to an item on council to investigate the possibility of the roundabout in front of the BP on, is that Colbatch or is that Forest Circle?
It's Forest Circle,
Circle,
yeah.
To be diverted, same as where the temporary road was when the development was happening to join the roundabout to Mitchie Crescent, and that therefore giving access by road to those businesses that live around the corner.
See you.
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes, that was a discussion that occurred at the round table, and we just need now to get the groups together before probably it comes to council formally.
Yep.
Have some discussions with the South Headland Business Association and some of the other key parties down there, and then bring the matter to council for further discussion.
Thank you.
Anything further, Councillor Jacob?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Councillor Hunt? Councillor Taylor?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to follow up my question at the September Ordinary Council meeting regarding the education policy changes that have a big impact given our Pilbara City vision and capping teachers in our schools and limiting the availability of instrumental music to students in Port Hedland is a serious concern for our community. And I just wondered what was happening with that and what the council can do about that, because I think that if we're to be true to our vision, that's something that we need to act on sooner rather than later.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I think we probably need to get some clear understanding, and perhaps we need to invite perhaps the District Director, I think that's still their title, District Director of Education, to let us know what that actually means for the Pilbara. Right. And I also understand that the state government may have relaxed some of those strict requirements already, but through some pressure, but I'm not quite...
I haven't heard that.
So the first thing we need to do is see if we can get Sue Kernigo to perhaps come and talk to us about what is happening in the Pilbara in terms of those government policies.
Can that try and be scheduled for the October Ordinary Council meeting, please, CEO?
Maybe invite Ms Kernigo, yes.
Thank you.
Just the comment that the Town of Port Hedland's involvement supporting the Pilbara Music Festival. It was a wonderful festival this year, and thank you to everyone involved.
Terrific. Okay. Item 6, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before us. Can I please have a show of hands? Let the record please show 7-0. All in favour? Okay, item 7, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. 7.1, confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on Wednesday the 28th of August 2013. Do I have any points of clarification?
No.
Move Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 7.2, confirmation of minutes of the special meeting of council held on Tuesday the 28th of August 2013. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, so moved.
Move, Councillor Hunt, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, item 8, announcements by presiding member without discussion. Also declaring that I am a nominated candidate for the upcoming mayoral election. In terms of the month period that's been passed, certainly it's been a very busy time, and I think particularly the highlights were in regards to the Northwest Festival, which was a fantastic event, and I think you know, all that were involved with that, from Sunset Events to our sponsors to supporting businesses to our staff and all the volunteers, everyone did a tremendous job. So I look forward to seeing the final outcomes from the Northwest Festival. Certainly in regards to a lot of different fundraisers, a lot of workshops, undertaking our workshops in regards to building form, housing design, design elements as part of the process feeding into our update of the local planning scheme is very exciting, and certainly looking forward to progressing with those works as we move on into next year's deadline. Certainly very pleasing to see, and CEO, I think if you can pass back full commendations to our team at the JD Hardy Youth Zone, the efforts that they've been doing in regards to the SLAM and the alternate youth activities that are taking place on a Saturday evening as well. Certainly the slam and the activities that are happening there are, you know, 10 out of 10 and really helping to engage youth, particularly the target market of youth that might otherwise be attracted and involved in antisocial activities with the volatile substance abuse. It's really good to see that we're actually really engaging that target market really well, and we're having some really good outcomes and on the path to getting some really good outcomes there. So full commendations to all the team at the JD Hardy Youth Zone. I think they're doing a tremendous job. So that's my report. Item 9, reports by elected members without discussion. Councillor Gillingham.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Harlock, and also mentioned that I am a candidate for the up-and-coming elections for the town of Port Hedland. Just a couple, if I may. We had our Pilbara Music Festival, as you know, the second week of September, and thank you to yourself also for opening the festival, and thank you to other councillors for coming along and being part of the festival. We had a great week with our adjudicator who came from Edith Cowan University and UWA in Perth, and some magic moments and lovely awards concert on the Sunday afternoon. Thank you to everybody who came along and attended. The Wednesday of that week, we actually had our choirs festival section at the stadium. It was a first for us, not being able to use the Gratwick Hall this year. It was a learning curve for us. Some better ideas for next year if we do hold the choirs there because of it being so open, because the acoustics are not the best. But we worked with it, and I'd like to say a commendation to Colin McLaren, the manager of the stadium, to thank him for all his help and assistance, because we were up till 11:30 on the Tuesday night putting carpet squares down and to try and help keep our costs down. As you know, our costs have zoomed since having to move into different venues for our festival. But I'd like to also thank the Town of Port Hedland for all their assistance through the week there. So thank you for that. And also, with the music exams have just been over, to follow the week after the festival, they were held at the Courthouse Arts Centre and Gallery in Edgar Street, and the examiner came from UWA, and we had a lovely day of examining, and it was we didn't have any tears, all the kids played perfectly, and it's just a fantastic venue to hold exams and future exams. So thank you for that, and thanks to the staff down at the gallery there. So thank you, everybody, and I'd like to also end by saying I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all candidates all the best for the up and coming elections. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you, and I'd also like to mention that I'm a nominated candidate for the coming elections. Two highlights from this last month. One was the Relay for Life. I officiated at the Ceremony of Hope in the evening, and that was a touching evening, as it always is. Just last week, I went down to Perth on a Welga training day called Professionally Speaking, and I can't recommend it enough. It was just a one-day, all-day session, and very, very well worth going. And I would suggest that any member, any council member, and anyone else in the public eye after the elections who gets an opportunity to go to that should do that one.
Terrific. Thank you. Councillor Jeanbert?
Yes, just three, Mayor Howlett, and I would like to make the statement I am a nominated mayoral candidate in the upcoming Town of Port Hedland election. Last week I attended the Australian Airports Authority Conference in Darwin, and last Saturday hosted the Chamber of Commerce Business of the Year Awards, and this morning attended the South Hedland Business Association breakfast. Thank you.
Terrific, thank you. Councillor Jacob?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I should make a comment that I'm not for election, just to break the norm. Just to confirm that I joined Councillor John Zombach and Councillor Carter as part of the airport committee, along with some of our executives, to attend that airport conference. That was really valuable, given the town is committing to a 70-odd million dollar upgrade, and I think that conference gave us some very good insight into what is possible, and certainly gave us some modelling that actually expanded our thought process. So that was really valuable. I'm sure we'll put it to good use on behalf of the town when considering things around the airport. Also, advising that obviously to remind people that the service, the key worker accommodation at Osprey is open for application for like affordable housing for not only employees, for businesses, but employees as well. And yes, that service, the key worker housing, is actually available to resource sector as well, because there is now a matrix to the way the applicants are the criteria that they have to meet. So therefore, those that are in the resource sector are still eligible, however they'll score less because of their wage level. So apply, it's out there now. It's one of the steps that the town and certainly the state government have been pushing, and in particular to normalise the housing market. And I think there is great opportunities there to ensure that the town takes advantage of that. The Housing Strategy Working Group, of which I'm on, I'd just like to remind the gallery that on tomorrow night there will be a Town of Port Hedland. At both shopping centres there will be a survey being handed out. There's been a lot of comments in the community around the design of houses and developments, about the zoning and about the planning around those developments. So this is the community's chance to actually think back as part of that survey to the Housing Strategy Working Group what our concerns are around zoning, densities, the design and planning requirements. So please take advantage of those that opportunity by being involved in that survey. And that's all I've got to report.
Thank you. Councillor Hunt?
Yes, Madam Mayor. As Director mentioned earlier, I attended the Port Hedland Retirement Village meeting on Monday night and invited the Director to come along and address the board. Unfortunately, we didn't have quorum because they all went down with a lurgy, but regarding the infill sewerage, which he did, and, as you mentioned before, attempting to contact the Department of Housing and maybe share the cost or alleviate some of the cost of it. The other thing to report is that the building is getting a bit of a facelift insofar as it's been painted and looking better than ever.
Sure. Thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Just one thing, just to Madam Mayor, please, was just the survey that Gloria mentioned, if any of the public or other members here and they would like one. I brought a bundle, which I did mean to put on the table and forgot, so please take one and fill it in. If you'd like to have a say in what buildings look like around a place, I know quite often we do hear that some look fabulous and others aren't so popular, so this is a chance to have a say in having the design guidelines so that there is a strict code of how we want our amenity to look like.
Terrific, thank you. And thank you all elected members for your endeavours over the past month. Appreciate it. Item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions. 10.1 gives me great pleasure to welcome Jeff Taylor from Yandina to talk in regards to the nearly finished Pilbara Drug and Alcohol Facility. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the invitation. And I've enjoyed the process so far. It's been quite entertaining in many ways. basically, this project has been on the cards for over 10 years. It's been talked about. Can everyone see that okay? It's clear enough?
Yes.
I'm going to stand behind you guys because I'm told very clearly by Grace that I have to be on this side to keep making my question, so please come back to me. Basically, drug and alcohol is often considered a difficult area for people to look at, but what I am going to be talking about is the rehabilitation of people who are affected by drugs and alcohol. That is a sexy area. That is an exciting area. That's something which you all should see as something that we can work together to progress people's health and well-being. A little bit about myself. I'm employed as a general manager by Yandina Family Centre, which has 10 different programs across the Pilbara, and the Drug and Alcohol Centre is going to be having an intake from the Pilbara-wide. I've got 25 years' experience working in the community sector, mainly on the east coast of Australia, Queensland. 10 years of those have been in drug and alcohol-specific areas, both in a residential rehab, a couple of residential rehab facilities, and in community-based counselling. In addition to that, I've got experience in child and family therapy, individual and group counselling, mediation, post-separation services, divorce. I'm an accredited, registered family dispute resolution practitioner as well. And 9 of those years have been in senior management roles. The last job being the State Director of Practice for Relationships Australia. So I've got a little bit to offer in this field and running this facility. The PDAF is for adults and it's an 18-bed facility. It's 10 of it allocated to males and 8 to females, housed separately. That will fluctuate depending on the demand, of course, but that's the gauge that we've set out. We've got 2 separate family units set aside, which will house 6 to 8 people. And that will be for support people of the clients that come in. But what I've identified in some of the research since I've been here, I've only been here 4 months in the Pilbara, is that young mums and bubs have become a key area for drug and alcohol use. So that will be one of the priority areas for housing in the family units, so that we can give a priority to those people. But again, it'll depend on the demand that happens throughout that referral process. The structure of the program is a post-detox support process. So people will have to have some form of detox, 5 to 10 days in the detox facility. Yandina has a sobering up shelter at Roebourne. We are currently trying to negotiate with the state government to convert part of that facility to a dedicated detox facility. Funding, of course, is the issue, as we all know. Trying to get the amount of funds to increase that is still being negotiated. But we're hoping that that will come to fruition. That may well be in consultation with federal government funding as well. So that we're still negotiating that. Post-detox, they'll come into the facility and we'll give them there's approximately a 2-week framework to get them oriented, to get them into the system. There's a 1-month assessment phase. Now that's doing a full biopsychosocial assessment. Their history, their background, psychological distress, looking at PTSD issues, looking at the whole range of underlying things that may have led them to use drugs and alcohol as a way of coping. So the framework is to do a thorough assessment. That will also be linked with GP assessments using the existing services, the AMSs and the population health services to assist doing those screening processes. So we know what we're working with, so we can provide the best case management strategy for those clients based on holistic approach, not just drug and alcohol. They'll then come into the induction phase of the program. Now that's really getting them, after they've come off the drugs and alcohol, they're getting clearer in their mind, they're getting healthier, we're starting to look at their nutrition and health and exercise program, starting to get them to engage in what goals they want to achieve out of this program. How are they going to move their life forward? So that's that engagement phase, so they can actually start to set goals. We're then looking at a 3 to 6 month intensive treatment phase where we're using group therapy, education and training frameworks to assist the clients to work towards those goals. They can leave at that stage depending on the goals that they've set for themselves and other life circumstances. Or they can go into the extended phase of the program. The extended phase takes them into looking at work skills, life skills, training. And we'll be trying to work with local TAFEs to engage in that process to give them some certificates. If they stay the full course and go through the whole program, I'm hoping they'll be able to walk out the door not only with driver's licences but also with hospitality type certificates, food handling, purchasing food, ordering, manual skills management. Looking at gardens, development, horticulture. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a range of different educational programs that we can have on site for the clients coming through the program. As part of that, there'll be a halfway house type scenario, and we have 1 unit dedicated to a halfway house so that they can progress through the program to the point where they can be housed on the facility but go off to TAFE, go off to work, and come back to the facility in the evening and get the counselling and support to deal with those challenges of having to get back into everyday life. Part of that, there'll also be the option for engaging family therapy for the extended family so that they get support and tapped into the appropriate support services in the community that already exist. Any questions so far? Good. This is the structure of the referral process. So any individual, family, community member, drug and alcohol services, doctors, GPs, all be able to identify if there is a drug and alcohol issue affecting the person's life. They can make the referral, and there will be a referral form for them to fill out. We're trying to keep that as simple as possible to make a smooth transition. Our intake and assessment is that full biopsychosocial. That's the part where we want them to come into the facility and spend those few weeks to engage and get an idea of where they're at, up to a month. Then they enter the full program. They're living on site before they do that, so that we can get them oriented to the program before they make a commitment. Then they enter into the program, we enter into that assessment process, and we go through those steps whilst they're living on site. And if they choose not to engage, at least they've had a few weeks to a month or so, getting clean, getting detoxed, getting the drugs and alcohol out of the system, getting educated. Those first 8 weeks we'll be doing some psychoeducational programs about diet, nutrition, diabetes, eye care, general health type issues, STDs, that sort of thing. So they'll be getting information that they can take away with them in that process, even if they don't engage in the full program. The structure of the topics that they'll be covering are those seven topics in a broad concept. That is taken from a culturally appropriate drug and alcohol, the state program. I forgot the title of the document, but it's the outline for working with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander clients, that we have to cover these seven areas as key components. The way we're trying to do that is look at each item, break it into their several sections, look at the actions that we can provide, whether it be an internal medical support or counsellor support or an external medical support, to try and identify the issues and then work towards a healthy outcome for these clients. So there's a whole structure there that we'll be looking through. That's just on the health side, the grief and loss. Councillors, you'll be getting a copy of this PowerPoint, so you can have a look at it in more detail. Feel free to give me a call later on. They'll be looking at, obviously, ways of approaching that. That's mainly an internal process of dealing with the therapy. Legal issues, we'll be tapping into the Federal Legal Service and Aboriginal Legal Services to support us through that, to have an Aboriginal liaison worker working with them and their families about any legal issues. Any of those issues that they bring in with them are often a trigger for clients to revert back to old coping mechanisms. If their family member's in trouble with the law, that may well also trigger them. So part of this program is to support the family members manage while their loved one is in the rehab. Obviously, the family issues, there's a whole range of strategies we can use there. And again, looking at Aboriginal culture and culture and country, trying to get the clients, once they're in a healthier part of the program, and that might be what I call stage three of the program, where they've gone into that extended phase prior to the halfway house, they may well be encouraged to touch base with their country, their community, with their family network in a safe way. And that would be with support workers, case managers, to support them with that. Home and money and work, obviously that's part of our longer term project with the clients coming through, to tap them into those training opportunities. Staffing, this is the structure that I'm looking at putting in place. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to recruit yet because the federal elections have just happened. The ministers are sort of in place, but the actions of them signing off on funds have been held up a little bit. I was expecting it 2 months ago for the operational funding. Unfortunately, that's still caught in the bureaucratic process. So once the operational funds are in the bank account, I'll be able to advertise and start recruiting staff. This is the core elements of the staff, and there may well be other, as I've said, there subcontractors that may come in to support overall program, whether it be a driver or gardening or cooking, cleaning, those sort of local employment options for the community members as well. There's a picture of the front entrance, the driveway, as it is today. It's been a long time coming. The building that you see on the right-hand side is the main admin building, and the building behind it, on the left-hand side of the tree, is the therapy block. So there's individual counselling therapy rooms there.
So, Jeff, how far out of South Hedland is it again?
Okay, it's located 15 to 20 k's south of South Hedland at Turner River. Mm-hmm. It's not so hard to find. There's a stockyard exit on the right-hand side, the second one along, 20 k's down the road, and it's about 2 k's down that service road. Mm. I will be having an open day once the funding's through and we've got staff on board and I've had the training, so that we'll invite all of yourselves as well as other service providers to come out and actually view the facilities. So you'll get an opportunity to be out there and ask questions and be exposed to the environment once we've got the landscaping done and things are a little bit more pleasant. That's one of the education rooms, which have the tables in there. It's our bathroom that's set up for the units. That's one of the kitchen items. Mm-hmm. That's the other side of the kitchen here to cook. So it's still in this putting all the hardware, the internal hardware. We've got the site operational in the sense that its physical building is complete, the electricity's connected. We were doing the telecommunications yesterday and today, and we're putting in all these equipment, buying chairs and tables is the next phase. This is a laundry without the washing machines and the dryers. That is the therapy block again, and just behind you can see on the left hand side is the beginning of the residential units. This is the other side of that same building, and on the right hand side is the kitchen, dining room, lounge areas. That's it again, the lounge area and the kitchen. And the laundry is on the other side of that building. And what's also not in view on the other side of that building is the two education group therapy rooms, which are larger rooms. You can see the wonderful red pindan dust. That's obviously going to be mulch and gardening that we'll have to do planting. We'll be working with IBN, the Aboriginal Corporation, to support us from their nursery to help do the gardening and using some of their people that are unemployed to come and support that and train them up as well as get them to get some employment there. Did I just jump ahead? Yep, I did. The right-hand side is some more of the individual units for housing. So it's a residential facility. So it's going to be obviously a 24/7 post-detox support. Each person is assessed on a case-by-case basis. I've had a lot of questions about whether or not we will exclude people from with criminal histories or mental health issues. From my experience of working in the field, you can't differentiate the two. Lots of people have comorbid issues with their drug and alcohol, mental health or other disabilities, so we will take it on an individual basis to how they will fit into the program and how we can assist them. Part of the referral process is, have they already experienced counselling externally? Have they had help whilst being living in the community? If they have and it hasn't worked, they become a priority for us to support them. It's based on a self-help community model, and people will progress through the stages of treatment and increase their responsibility as part of their growth within the program. That's part of the Therapeutic Community Association's guidelines. We are an associate member of the Australasian Therapeutic Communities Association. Once we become operational, then we'll become a full member of that association, and then there are quality assurance measures that we'll have to meet over a two-year period to ensure that we're meeting the highest standards of service delivery. People privileges are earned throughout through action and responsibility. So initially when people come in, they won't be able to utilise the phones in the first few weeks because they often will bring their dealer or arrange for someone to drop off some alcohol for them. That's my experience of working in rehabs, that's often the case. Once they start to engage in the program, they earn the privileges to contact their family members regularly and have that weekend contact with them in a safe, supervised environment until they earn the privilege to have that halfway house scenario. hopefully we're helping them just develop the work and life skills, focusing on health and well-being, the individual goals that they have set at the early stages and reviewed throughout their treatment will be a focus of their case management approach. Obviously, addiction and relapse prevention is a key to the whole program, but if you can see where I've come from with these slides, we are looking at the whole person. It's a holistic approach to supporting a person to cover all the different areas of their life. And again, that halfway house support is paramount to them reintegrating the community. The actions we're still looking at is having the property handed over. It is still in the builder's hands, and there's all those final details of fitting it out at the moment. So that's still, I'm expecting that to be around the 15th of October, middle of October, could be a bit later, to be physically handed over from the building site to Yandina. Then I'm hoping the operational funding will be accessed by then, and I can start the recruitment process. Obviously, we're still fitting out and got the landscaping, as you can see from the photos. The operational contract with the federal government is still to be signed because it's being held up in Canberra at the moment. It's been written and documented, it just hasn't been approved. Obviously, then I need to go into the recruitment of staff and the Osprey housing, as I have put the applications in. Several of them to keep that going, so I might have housing for them. Once the staff are on board, obviously getting the program orientation, bringing them up to speed with the expectations guidelines of the program. Obviously, this is the step in building that community awareness so that people are aware of our program and be able to refer clients. That's been part of my role over the last few months, is to make sure that the key referral agencies are aware of the service coming up. And so as soon as it's open, we're hoping that we'll be flooded with referrals. And I've been assured that that won't be a problem. I'm looking at having an open day and a launch of the service, and I don't have a date because I'm not going to set that until such time as we're able to have the funding and get things on board. I'm hoping we might be able to look at January as an actual service opening of clients coming in. I know that's a very quiet period for Headland, so that might be a good way to softly open a service. Any other questions? We might get the lights. Thank you, Claire.
Councillors, any questions for Jeff?
So Jeff, how long has it taken from the turning of the soil to the building to the present time?
I don't have an exact date for this. I would guess around 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. Like I said, it's a guess.
Okay. Thank you.
Certainly, from when I've been up here 4 to 5, coming up to 5 months, so it certainly was 3 or 4 months before I started.
Okay, thank you.
The clients that come in, I know they're referred, but do they come in on a voluntary basis or are they brought in?
Yes, generally. It'll be on a voluntary basis. We will have probably 2 beds reserved for correctional referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Because the general drug and alcohol counsellors and diversion program for the courts is going to be changing to a new service provider, I haven't been able to secure that new service provider to talk them about referrals in. That'll happen, no doubt, closer to January.
Just a question around the funding. Your program is funded by
OATSI, federal government, under the Department of Health and Aging.
Yeah. And it's for all cultures?
It is open to all cultures. It was primarily for local Aboriginal or Pilbara wide catchment for Aboriginal people, and that's why we've tried to culturally appropriately match the program, and there's been a lot of consultation prior to my coming on board over the last 2 years to set that up, and even in the design of the buildings, there was a lot of consultation with the local service providers and the Aboriginal elders to have that input. So that's a primary group, but it's not exclusive.
Jeff, I'm aware of the Teen Challenge program down Esperance, and they deal with a whole range of other addictions besides drug and alcohol. Is this facility just for drug and alcohol?
That's the primary goal. I have a very broad understanding of addiction, and I do see that there is other ways that people get addicted to a whole range of, I specialise in eating disorders and a whole range of things. So each case will be decided based on their need.
Okay.
However, the primary game is drug and alcohol.
And Jeff, sometimes, you know, with the drug and alcohol, you have aggression with people. Yes. So obviously there's something that has to be addressed, and how do you go about with that?
Basically, aggression is a reaction to fear and other sort of mechanisms people are coping with. What we try and do is approach it to say, okay, that you're giving us a message. What's the message behind the aggression? What's the real need you have? Mm-hmm. And once people get this, you're actually listening beyond me being angry, then they can actually change the nature of their engagement, because they can see. So it comes down to, from my experience, if I see someone escalating, it's that early part of catching it, if you can possibly do it, to get them to see, well, what's the real message here, so they can talk. And that listening process and getting to understand where they're coming from often de-escalates. Now, that's not every case. There's a lot of people that have experienced prison life that use that as a way of getting what they need. And so, as a counsellor and therapist, the process is to identify where are they coming from, so I have the right approach. And sometimes it's standing your ground and saying, here's the boundary. You choose to step over that boundary and the police will be called and there'll be consequences for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a softly, softly all the time approach, if that makes sense. You have to have that balance. And if you had angry people, as I'm sure you all have, you need to know, as a therapist and counsellor, at what point do you intervene, in what stage, and what type of intervention. So I can't give it...
No, I understand. I often find that through schools, you often find that the children who are kids in crisis, it comes from that part of the home.
Yes.
And I guess you would have some mechanisms in place to help people around the whole system.
That's right. And also getting them, just like drugs and alcohol, you're asking people to look at, what are your triggers? What is it that's triggering you to then decide to go and numb yourself out?
Mm-hmm.
What's your trigger for your anger? Getting them to identify, when they're not in a state of anger, what is it that escalates their emotional state, so they have to cope by getting angry at people, to push people away or to get what they want? What's the driver? And when you start to work at that level, they can potentially process it a little bit more. It's not all cognitive work, by the way. We'll be doing a lot of hands-on expression type work, and that might be using tools, and it might be outside, it might be in a range of experiential things, because not everyone learns by cognitive processes.
Yeah.
So it's about using a multiple pronged approach. It's the easiest way to describe it.
Thank you.
How do I go about controlling myself looking after 20 plumbers?
20 plumbers. Okay. I guess there's lots of dimensions and dynamics there. Perhaps identifying what the what your need is, and setting some clear boundaries and guidelines, and talking to them to get them engaged. One of the key elements of this program is about getting people engaged, getting them to commit to, I'm agreeing with what your guideline is, and I'm going to commit to honouring that. If they can't honour and commit to the program, then we need to look at, what are your other options?
Mm.
And that's where we'll be linking with other community agencies to make that work for the client based on their individual needs. That's a good question.
I just want to ask you something. I'm assuming that facility is for a certain age group?
It's adults, so 18 up. 17-year-olds, we'll negotiate. Anything younger, we're starting to look at parental consent, and that's not our target group. However, my plan is that we will, in due course, have a youth facility specifically aimed at brief interventions for drug and alcohol, the issue users.
Good.
It's really pleasing to see the scale of it as well. It's not just a little toe in the water, it's actually a decent sized facility with all the with what's needed there, and so I'm just so pleased that this facility can come to our town. I'm also pleased to see that you're looking at the programs, because in some ways the infrastructure is easy, and I know that's not necessarily true, but building a building is one thing, but these things are never successful without the people, and I can imagine in your recruitment phase that that's going to be quite a big challenge. But I I just wish you all the best in the recruitment, because this is a facility our town really needs. And if we can not only address the quality of life living here, but not just for the sort of mainstream, but for the marginal as well, then that's going to have the biggest legacy effect on everybody in this town. So,
yeah, hopefully. That's exactly what we're after.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Well done. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, queries? How about a round of applause and appreciation? Thank you very much, Jeff, and please feel free to remain, but if you do need to go, we totally understand. So thank you again for coming. Appreciate it. Okay, just a disclaimer before we begin item 11, reports of officers. Members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items on this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by council has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. And before we commence item 11, reports of officers, just making everyone aware that since the publication of the agenda, a late confidential item has been presented to council, the title being Lease of Cattle Yards Mel Reef Pty Limited. Now, this will be considered when we get to section 15 of the council agenda. So just letting everyone know. Okay, item 11.1.1, delegated planning, building and environmental health approvals and orders for August 2013. The officer's recommendation on page 16. Do I have any points of clarification?
No.
Moved Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Jeanbach. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.1.1.2, proposed street name, Sugarbird, with the officer's recommendation on page 29. Do I have any points of clarification?
No, but I'd like to move that, thank you.
Moved Councillor Gillingham, seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0.
Thank you.
Item 11.1.1.3, proposed partial closure of Wind Creek Road, Vidari, lot 1281 on deposited plan 70562. The officer's recommendation on page 34. I believe an addition has been... provided. Can I have a mover?
Yes, I do.
Move Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.1.2.1, updating of Town of Port Hedland firebreak notice with the officer's recommendation on page 40. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, I move.
Move Councillor Hunt, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. On page 45, item 11.2.1.1, award of tender 13-24, architectural services, column apples and oval change rooms, with the officer's recommendation on page 51. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points at all.
So in moving that, with the recommendation to Hodge Collard Preston for the lump sum price of $91,845 plus GST, move Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.2.1.2, award of tender 13-04, design, supply and construct an overhead sports lighting system at Marine Marlin Reserve, South Hedland. The officer's recommendation on page 56. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, ma'am.
Move Councillor Jacob with the awarding to Coral Coast Electrical for the lump sum price of $652,206 plus GST. Move Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.2.1.3, award of tender 13-25, supply and install a culvert crossing to Hudson Way, South Hedland, with the officer's recommendation on page 61. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, Madam Mayor.
Move Councillor Jacob. In doing so, it is to Rob Carr Pty Limited for the lump sum price of $89,000 plus GST. Move Councillor Jacob. Seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.2.2.1, request to dispose of Part Reserve 31462, being Lot 5770 Johnson Lane, Prettypool, to the Port Hedland Pony Club, with the officer's recommendation on page 69. In doing so, I'd just like to declare an interest in this item. In my nature of my interest is that an association, community group I have an association with, has a community garden project on this site, and we do community activities with the Port Hedland Pony Club. So I'd like to declare I have an impartiality interest in this item. In that regard, I disclose that I have an association with the applicant. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I'll consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly. So I have an officer's recommendation one there. Do I have any points of clarification? Do I have a mover and seconder? Moved Councillor Jacobs, seconded Councillor Hunt. Yep, first hand Councillor Jacobs, second hand Councillor Hunt, third hand Councillor Hooper. So I have three hands. Moved Councillor Jacobs, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any points of clarification? Do I have any against? Okay, Speaker 4.
Madam Mayor, I believe the officer's summary advises of the previous council's decision and has prepared elected members with three options. Considering the three options, I think the officer's recommendation two is a fair and equitable option to consider, and certainly is a discounted option compared to the current valuation. Is also in line with 90% of the original lease, which I believe there has been community engagement with the Pony Club, and I suppose it also is in line with the town's projected development plans that are also regarding to other state land that will be coming into consideration around the December 2016 period. So in order for that recommendation to be considered, then the first recommendation to rescind Council's previous resolution of November 2008 would need to be passed, and hence I'm supporting that recommendation be rescinded.
Speaker against?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My concern is around that the Council has already approved this. The Port Hedland Pony Club is a voluntary youth organisation and has the opportunity for children and families to enjoy their horses in Prettypool. And I just worry that if we don't put something as close to the original council intent as possible, that it may be seen as opportunistic, that we're kind of changing what was agreed to in 2008, which is a long time for the Pony Club to wait for this lease arrangement to be sorted out. From speaking to members of the Pony Club, they're quite keen to have certainty in the arrangements, and they would love to have the options with the extensions of the lease as originally established in the lease agreement that was agreed to Council in 2008. So my main reason for not wanting to rescind the decision is that I'm concerned that the alternative options that will come into play after that are not close enough to the original decision.
Speaker 4.
I believe that the Pony Club has agreed to the terms that we have got before us tonight, and as Councillor Jacob said, this will bring all the leases in that particular area into line, so that if the areas around there should be developed for any other purpose, then all the leases will be come aligned at the same time. So it just makes it tidier, if, for want of a better word, with the leases, and to have one leaf sitting 2 years out of kilter with the rest of them around, it just wouldn't make it tidy. So with that, I do agree that we need to rescind that the original motion and bring everything into line by making it the 8 years.
Terrific. Speaker against?
Oh, yes, thank you. I'd like to go with the initial 10 years and the two options of 5 years. We have been down this road before, and it was pointed out to us earlier this afternoon in a briefing that each organisation has different merits regarding their association. So I'd just like to go with what Councillor Taylor has proposed. Mm-hmm.
Speaker four. Any other speakers against? Right of reply.
Certainly acknowledge Councillor Taylor's and Councillor Gillingham's observations with regards to the original lease. I do believe that the original lease, I understand the intent and certainly don't have a problem with that, but to bear into mind that there is an equestrian master plan that documents a long-term vision for all equine activities within the town, and I guess the formalisation of the lease agreement is very much reliant upon the outcome as their officers have recommended, the outcome of the equestrian master plan. And I guess the town has identified that the Pony Club's lease area, which is located on that reserve, is also a potential area for future residential development. And notwithstanding that there's a two-year difference from the original lease that the council resolved to do, there is also a reasonable expectation that a new lease agreement with the Pony Club, which finishes 2 years in advance of that, is a reasonable expectation to bring everything into line. And I don't think that the town is considering any major changes to the existing area before that period anyway. So certainly agree with what the officers have written inside of their report, understand that it's the Pony Club's importance to the town, but also realising that the equestrian master plan and certainly the Tilbury's Port City Growth Plan says that, advises that there will be a greater vision for all equine activities within the town, and I think the 2016 year is realigning that timeline so that officers can make informed decisions as to where to move on those plans.
Okay, I'll put it to a vote. Those in favour of officers' recommendation one, can I please have a show of hands? Those in favour of, not against officers' recommendation, can I have a show of hands? Let the vote record 5-2. Absolute majority vote was required, so that did not get the 6, so that vote is lost. So in terms of that officers', the original recommendation just remains in place?
Yes, Madam Mayor, because the council is required to revoke that decision, so all the work that's been done with the Pony Club to come to this agreement is now out the window.
Is there an alternate recommendation or anything to re-emphasise the lease or add anything?
We have a current council resolution of 2008.
To improve the lease?
The current resolution of 2008.
So that remains in place with no amendments or adjustments. Okay. Thank you, councillors. Okay, item 11.3.1.1, Town of Port Hedland Leisure Centre contract confirmation hours of operation of the aquatic centres. The officer's recommendation on page 78. I believe there's some amendments that have been put forward. In yellow there. Do I have any points of clarification? Do I have a mover? Councillor Hunt. Seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, item 11.3.2.1, Town of Port Hedland Disability Access and Inclusion Plan, 5-yearly review with the officer's recommendation commencing page 87. Do I have any points of clarification?
No point, Madam Mayor.
Move, Councillor Jacob. Now, this is the alternate one with the addition of part
four.
So, move, Councillor Jacob. Seconded, Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, item 11.3.2.2 on page 119, J.E. Hardy Youth Zone External Upgrade, Adoption of Master Plan.
Madam McMahon.
Yes.
I'd like to declare that I have a financial interest and that I have there to share the threshold.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hunt. Any other declarations?
I'd also like to declare I have BHP shares over the threshold.
Thank you, Councillor Jeanbach. So the quorum still remains 5.
Quorum is 5, Madam Mayor.
Yes. Okay, so we can still
consider this item.
Okay, so we have an officer's recommendation there. Councillors, do I have any points of clarification?
No.
Move, Councillor Jacob. Seconded, Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 5-0. Could I have...
Thank you,
Mr. Hockey. Councillors, as you resume your seat at the table, letting you know the officer's recommendation commencing page 123 was passed as is 5-0. Item 11.3.2.3, award of tender 13-23, architectural services for the integrated community facilities in South Hedland Town Centre, with the officer's recommendation on page 140. Now, councillors, we have amended recommendation that has been put forward by staff with a new part two. You'd like to look at that part two and perhaps CEO explain?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Just in terms of the funding that's currently available, the commitment by council, by the town of Port Hedland to Christo would be for part A of the tender if this is awarded. But there would be an ongoing commitment to engage, to continue the engagement of Christo for Part B and then Part C of the project, subject to funding, being available and Council's approval of the project progressing. Just made that very, very clear.
So we'd need funding, which would be approved by Council in due course when funding is available.
So through you, Madam Mayor, that would either be a budgetary process or it would be a standalone agenda item if there was external funding available to continue the project.
Great. So we have that officer's recommendation. Do I have any further points of clarification with that clarification? Okay. I have a mover and Councillor Jacob. Now, in doing so, that names the Christo Design Group Pty Limited. Now, for Stage A, it is $346,730. Then in the next gap, in Stage B, in the second part for the lump sum. Yes, I do. Perhaps if you borrow CEO so I can continue reading. Okay, and then the Stage B would be $1,029,170, and then Part C would be $531,750. So that'll be all those gaps in there as pertaining to the Christo Design Group. I have a mover and Councillor Jacob. I have a seconder and Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Thank you. You're okay with that, Governance? Thank you. Item 11.4.1.1, Interim Financial Reports to Council for year ended 30th of July 2013, with the officer's recommendation on page 145.
So moved.
Move, Councillor Jeanbach. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 11.4.1.2, Efficiency Dividends Achieved for August 2013, with the officer's recommendation on page 148. Do I have any points of clarification? Move, Councillor Jacob. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, we're all on page 153. Item 11.4.1.3, 2013 initial rates incentive draw. And with that, we have an officer's recommendation and we have gaps that we need to fill. So if I can have a mover and seconder to suspend standing orders and resume the drawing. Move Councillor Hunt, seconded Councillor Gillingham, all in favour. So we'll start commencing the drawing. And with that, we have the barrel.
Would you like to open it?
No, we'll let you open it. How about I hold it up so people can see? Here it is, it's all sealed, nothing can get out or in.
We definitely make sure that this is...
Okay, and we've got a texter, and CEO, you'll keep track that we're following numbers. And starting with you, Councillor Jeanbach, would you like to pull out smart? There's two there, but that's okay. There can be one and two. So number one, just want to yell out the name if you've got it.
Maria Tanner.
Yep.
Damn
it. Number two.
Gary and Suzanne Mackwell.
Okay. Number three.
John and Helen Kingdom.
Number four.
Stephen Walsh.
Number five,
Voshko Tolch.
So we're up to number five, CEO.
Yeah, number six now.
Number six,
Don Armstrong.
Number seven,
Rod Kavanagh.
And last one, Councillor Jeanbach, number eight.
Glenn Payne.
Thank you. Alright, get ready, Councillor Hooper. Pull out another eight as well.
Number nine. W. Podmore.
Number ten.
Edward Dershaw.
Number 11. There's two there. Yeah.
Leanne Sawyer. 12.
Number 12.
Yep.
Raymond Smith.
Number 13.
Brian Grimes.
Number 14.
Sean Carr.
Number 15.
Christopher Wallace.
Number 16.
Mr. Sahu.
Congratulations. Thank you, Councillor Hooper. Councillor Gillingham. Number eight, please. Okay, number 17.
Jake O'Brien.
Right, we'll just slow down because we want to make sure we write on them.
Kevin Cartwright.
Number 18. Number 19.
LeBron.
Number 20.
Bambridge.
It's a big one, yeah.
21.
Nicola, I can't read that.
22.
Bernadette Aldenham.
23.
Jerry Hayes. And Vivian Lebrun.
Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. Councillor Turner, would you mind helping us out with another eight? 26.
Pinner family.
27.
Scott Malcolm.
28.
Stephen Burford.
29.
Andrew Payne.
Oh, just wait, we've lost one. Okay, that's on 30, I believe.
Harry Jacoby.
Okay. 31.
DMG surveys.
Not sure if it's fine.
32.
And David Leopardi.
Great. Alright, Councillor Hunt.
We need five spares at the end as well.
Don't panic, I've got some control.
I've got two here.
Stop on hang on.
Delta Page, 36.
36.
Delta Cape, it's a company.
And that's 33.
Yep. 34.
And this is another one, Delta Cape.
Wow.
34.
And another one. Wow, I'll make sure they're not stuck together.
36.
Sam Enriquez.
37.
Clorinda Buckhorst.
38.
Darren Cosgrove.
39.
Vincent. That's 14. Set.
Five more, please, Councillor Jacob.
40. Octavia Barima. 41.
42.
Ali Property Holdings.
43.
Donna Nordman.
44. And that's the
McEnroy?
It should be it.
Yeah.
The last
45.
No, that's, sorry, and that's I've got
44. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah.
The last I've already had
44. We
only need 44.
Yep.
McEvoy, it's the last one.
45.
Yep.
Yep.
44.
39
plus 5.
Yep.
Yep. All right, we're all good. Thank you. Okay, so with those names now all added in, I need a mover and seconder to resume standing orders, please. Move Councillor Hooper, seconded Councillor Hunt. All in favour to go back in. Terrific. Okay, with those names all in place, can I have a mover and seconder, please? Move Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Thank you. Thanks for helping out. Item 11.5.1.1, Pilbara-Kimberley Joint Forum, March 2014. With the officer's recommendation, and there is an amendment recommendation. Do I have a mover?
Move
Councillor Jacob, seconded Councillor Taylor. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, item 11.5.1.2, making of repeal local law 2013 with the officer's recommendation on page 173.
So moved.
Move Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, item 11.5.1.3, Australia China Business Council membership with the officer's recommendation on page 179. So move Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Okay, late items as permitted by presiding member council, there are nil with the exception of the confidential item, which we'll get to in 15. Item 13, reports of committees. Item 13.1.1, Airport Committee Minutes, 4th of September 2013. With officers' recommendation, I'll deal with them separately because they require a simple majority and absolute majority. So, officers' recommendation 1. Do I have any... No points of clarification. Move Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Officers' recommendation 2. To approve Councillor Jacob's participation, I have a mover in Councillor Jeanbach, seconder in Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0, which meets the absolute majority vote required. Item 14, motions of which previous notice have been given, there are nil. Item 15, confidential items. Can I please have a mover and a seconder to consider the late report, lease of cattle yards, Mel Reef Pty Limited. Move Councillor Jacobs, seconded Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against to consider the motion first? So no, the motion is able to be considered confidentially. That is now 7-0. Can I have a mover and seconder to go into confidence? Move Councillor Jacobs, seconded Councillor Hunt. All in favour? 7-0. Members of the public, we need to consider one confidential item. You're most welcome to remain in the foyer and then come back after we...
deliberation of the back.
Members of the public, as you resume your seat in the gallery, letting you know the council considered one confidential item, 15.1, lease of cattle yards, Mel Reef Pty Limited, and the following officer's recommendation was resolved by council. The Council, pursuant to Section 6.8 in brackets 1 in brackets B of the Local Government Act 1995 and subject to the recommendations in the report, authorise in advance expenditure for an additional purpose to that provided for in the budget for the purpose of the Chief Executive Officer having discretion to deal with the matter. That was passed 7-0, which met the absolute majority requirements required. Okay, item 16, applications for leave of absence. Councillor Gillingham.
None, thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Hooper.
None, thank you.
Councillor Jeanbach.
No, thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Jacob.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I am from 26th of September through to the 6th of October.
To the 6th of October?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hunt.
30th of September to the 9th of October.
To the 9th of October. And Councillor Taylor?
No, thank you.
Okay, can I have a mover and seconder for those, please? Move Councillor Hooper, seconded Councillor Gillingham. All in favour? 7-0. Thank you. Okay, item 17, closure. 17.1. The date of the next meeting of Council is to be on Wednesday, the 23rd of October, commencing at 5:30 p.m. Thank you very much, everyone. Councillors, staff and members of the public, I'd like to wish all candidates in the upcoming elections all the very best. I wish you all the best and certainly look forward to you all being involved in Council as we continue on into October. I declare the meeting closed.
Perhaps we might remind the gallery that October will be the first time the Council will start doing full agenda briefings a week before the ordinary Council meeting. And so on the third Wednesday, being the 16th, there will be a open to the public agenda briefing with Council then determining the matters formally the following week on the 23rd. So sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. And maybe we might do that in our formatting, so the next formal meeting and the next agenda briefing to make it nice and clear. Okay, so thank you very much, everyone. I declare the meeting closed at 7:15. Thank you.
Thank you.
With all those amendments. You did well.